Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone into the Clay County Corner here this morning. It's a pleasure coming to you live and in living color here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And we have a little bit different show this morning. But before we talk any more about that, we want to thank everyone that makes this show possible here, the three-star committee, the Chamber of Commerce, and, of course, all of the great sponsors that help make this. And we have a big-time special event coming up here at the Clay County Courthouse next Wednesday at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. We're going to be unveiling a Tennessee Music Pathways marker for Dumas Walker and the Kentucky Headhunters. And yesterday I taped an interview with Richard Young of the Headhunters, and we're going to be playing that here in a few minutes in its entirety. And then after that, we'll have a few minutes, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Tennessee Music Pathways and kind of exactly what it is and kind of our schedule of course, our scheduling is not completely set up yet for this. We're still waiting on confirmations from folks to be here and things like that. But a little bit of information about that. So the show mainly today will be about the Tennessee Music Pathways and the unveiling of the Tennessee Music Pathways sign. And I think probably we'll do some commercials here. And I guess we may just go ahead and start with the interview at the end of this commercial break. If that's not correct, I'll get corrected. We'll have everything straight and ready to go here in just a few minutes. So right now, let's put a few commercials in here, and we'll be ready to get today's show cranked up here in just a few minutes.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Prescription drug and opioid misuse often starts at home. On average, 4,400 people ages 12 and under misuse prescription medication for the first time every day. Sharing prescription medications with friends or family members is dangerous and against the law. The misuse of prescription medications can lead to severe health problems and even opioid use disorder. Start preventing prescription drug and opioid misuse at home. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Good morning, folks. I'm sitting here now with with Richard Young from the Kentucky Headhunters, and we're going to do a little conversation. I guess sometimes people call it interviews, little conversation to talk about our big event that's happening up here at the Clay County Courthouse on Wednesday, August the 18th at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and that is to unveil. We're going to uncover our sign we've got up there for the Tennessee Music Byway, and I do know from speaking to Dumas's nephew, Alan West, that he informed me that Mr. Young was the man that kind of initiated all this stuff and got this ball rolling a few years ago, and plans were, of course, to unveil this thing probably about a year and a half ago, but COVID took care of that, and we had a bunch of different people went through the chamber there in Salina and things like that, and this kind of got handed to me. So my first thing I said was, we can't schedule anything till we get a hold of the headhunters and find out what their schedule is. And lucky for me, guess what? I've got you scheduled here this morning, and I'm going to let you.
Well, that's amazing. You got me twice this year already. Well, listen, hey folks, hope everybody's doing well. Yeah, this is a great thing to be done, and not. Hey, it's great for the headhunters and for the song Dumas Walker and for the man of Dumas Walker and what he meant to the community and his bright atmosphere and his charm and that sort of thing. He could be a cat, too, you know. But I guess that probably should go back and tell how this song actually got started. But I want to say this is a great thing for the surrounding counties and especially Clay County to have this event going to happen and finally some notoriety given into the area and including Moss, Tennessee for the you know, recognizing what this song has meant to people, but not nationwide, worldwide. Fellas, we go to you know, we finally started touring in Europe about 5 years ago, and it's great to know that people over there, you know the song. And I can't think of any time that we've ever played in the years since we recorded Dumas Walker that people, all the people in the crowd, at least 90% of them knew the words, and the ones that didn't were looking at the others, and they knew them by the end of the chorus, by the end of the song. So it Dumas Walker kind of almost came out to be like something is with the notoriety of a song like Mary Had a Little Lamb, some school nursery rhyme or something. And we didn't really intend it. The way it was written is, we were up in our old music house. Well, folks that don't know, we started out, a lot of people y'all there had seen the band back in the 70s, so early 70s, late 60s, we started out as a band called Itchy Brother.
Now, where'd that name come from, Richard?
We live up in Metcalf County, and, you know, we live on a pretty good size farm up here, and my grandmother, Effie Young, had bought an extra 100 acres and added on to the farm, and up and down to Beaver Creek there, and she had this farmhouse on it, an old clapboard farmhouse, and it's, you know, quaint looking, pretty place, but set off by the creek, on Beaver Creek. And people started wanting to rent it from her, and she didn't want to do that. So she got the bright idea to let her two grandsons and their two cousins move into that house and start practicing music. Because we've got mom and daddy crazy in the house, you know, of course. And you know, that way she could tell the neighbor, she'd go, well, I can't rent it. The boys are using it for their music practice. And so we named it the Practice House, and it still stands today, and we all convene to have a practice and write songs and have little chats about what we're going to do next, the next move. And also, my son's band, Blackstone Cherry, which a lot of people are familiar with, the rock band, used it and grew up there as well. And then along about 3 or 4 years ago, I started working with a little band from Rome, Georgia, and they use it too now. And so it's just a... it's been a great place for us to gather. But when we were kids, the way this song came about, we wrote it in the practice house. And, you know, lots of times you'll toll over a song and you'll think, oh, this is going to be great. It's just going to knock people out. And, you know, you put it out and it goes right over the top of people's heads like a chicken hawk or something. And they don't get it. And this song, Dumas Walker, was, we had lived it. It was a true story that when we grew up as kids, once we were able to, you know, get interested in fireworks and that sort of thing, our parents would, you know, we didn't have fireworks in Kentucky, so we'd have to drive down to Moss, Tennessee to Dumas's to get them. And we were just young kids, and it was amazing. It always amazed me that Dumas, he had his regular fireworks laid out, but he had a refrigerator there that it wasn't plugged up, but it was full of boxes of M80s and cherry bombs. And he would sell them, and, you know, them things was eight stick of dynamite. And we take them things on Halloween and throw them and carry on in the office, and boom, you hear it sound like dynamite going off. And that was a part of our childhood, you know, getting the fireworks. And then as we got older, unfortunately or fortunately, whichever one you want to call it, when one of us got a driver's license, we would tear out the Dumas's to get some refreshment. And of course, we wasn't old enough to buy it, but Dumas didn't know that, so he never carded us. But now in Tennessee, you couldn't do that. But I remember one time in particular, now I can't tell too much stuff. I won't have anything to say at the meeting, you know, but I remember one time Daddy sent us to the feed mill with a load of corn and hay to get it crushed for cow feed to milk with. And what we did, we went to Edmonton and dumped that off at Southern States. And while they was grinding, we burned it on down the hill there at the crossroads and shot over to Dumas's and got us some refreshment. And when we came back, when they started loading the sacks of feed, we kind of stuck it in under the feed there, you know. And we would carry that back home and unload the sacks of feed and feed men. And then we would hide that refreshment, as I call it, in down in the cow feed. So we'd drag it out on the weekends when we was practicing in the music house. But that's kind of the gist of the story. And then also in the back of our minds, our mother took us when the Woodstock movie first came out. The theater didn't carry it in Glasgow, the drive-in, but the Tompkinsville Theater, she showed it. And our mom drove us kids all the way over to Tompkinsville to see the Woodstock movie on the drive-in picture show down there. And so all that stuff tied in together, and then there actually was a second place that we used to go to that's part of the song as well. It's in Greensburg, Kentucky, and it was called the Greasy Spoon Restaurant. And it stayed open 24 hours, and we used to go to Club 68 in Lebanon once we got our driver's license. And our grandma bought us an old white potato chip truck or step van, rather, and we would get out and go to Georgia and Alabama and everywhere, you know, and even as kids. And I can't believe the day our parents let us do that, to be honest with you, but that worried me to death. And, of course, my kid's been all over Europe ever since he's 17, so I guess I shouldn't worry, but we would stop there. It was an all-night diner, and there was two lines in that song that actually came from there. Is the guy that ran it was kind of a real cranky old guy, but I guess I'd be cranky too if I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning and a bunch of youngins come in there, you know, aggravating. But he would take down our alders, and there'd be 7 or 8 of us, and he'd take that alder down. And one time I said, "Sir, don't you need a pen and a pad?" He said, "I got a photogenic mind." And what he meant was a photographic mind. And I never forgot that. And then also, that's where the slaw burgers and the ski came from, was in Greensburg. So that coupled with us going to Dumas's all of our life and him getting down, you know, he had a trick to get kids to come back. He would get down on the floor and shoot marbles. And that was, it was like, it was sanitized. Young people, it just, they loved it. And so he had them hooked from like childhood to come back. But that's the combination of those two places and the lines and those songs are where the song came from. And, you know, it couldn't be called the Dolphinsenuses because you couldn't sing it. You couldn't save us all, go down to the Dolphinsenuses. But we could save us all, go down to Dumas Walk.
Okay, Richard.
Yes.
A little bit about that, you know, about Dumas and the, of course, the video. I know there was one story about Dumas's concern about the young ladies in the video, that if his wife Hazel happened to see them, that the video might be called off. But we, but I know that. But
oh, I never heard that one. That's great. Well, yeah, Hazel. I remember Hazel and that white dog Pepper.
Yes.
That dog hated me, I reckon, because I couldn't help but try to look at them pictures on the walls. You go and try to look at them pictures, well, he'd eat you up.
But, you know, Dumas and Pepper were pretty inseparable there for many, many years. But, you know, Dumas, his place, I know the video shows that as being a party place and all that stuff. But Dumas's place down there was anything but a party place, wasn't it? I mean, it...
It wasn't. It was just a little one-stop store, and he sold Mellow Yellow and beer and Cokes and what have you. The story that I know about the day that we shot the video is we pulled up in Tompkinsville, and we had planned to shoot it at the pool hall, and something went awry where we couldn't use the pool hall. So I'll never forget this. Mr. Graves over at the school, it was a separate superintendent there. His son, Dante, is my cardiologist. But when we didn't know what we were going to do, we were sitting there with these big camera trucks and all this equipment, and we went to Mr. Graves, and he said, well, why can't we use the school band room? And so what we did is Daddy went and got a U-Haul truck and come home, and of course we've been pack rats all our lives, so all that moose head and all that stuff in the video, Daddy took some school boys from Thompsonville, they went home and loaded up a load of stuff, and they decorated, them children took every bit of them trophies and all the instruments, everything, and stored them somewhere out of that band room so we could use it for the day. And we converted it into what it looked like a night spot.
A pretty good juke joint there.
That was a Tompkinsville band room. It sure was on Monroe County. And I always thank Mr. Graves for having enough insight there to go, well, you know, that helps young kids. Let's do something different. And I doubt there's very many schools in the United States that can actually say that they had a video shot in the bedroom.
Oh, okay, now.
You know?
Yes.
I'm the only one under those circumstances, but we owe a lot to Clay County, Dumas Walker, and we owe a lot to the Monroe County schools and Mr. Graves and all the teachers and everybody that jumped in, all the children that jumped in and helped and participated in the video. But you know, the funniest part about that thing, y'all, was Dumas, when they went to get him, he said, now I can't be gone but about 30 minutes. And they couldn't find a way to set up, and I don't know where in the world they drug that big pool table in there from, but they got a pool table in there, and he said, I've got to have somewhere to shoot a marble if I'm going to shoot, so they put him on a pool table. And he said, now, I can't be gone but just a little while. Now, I missed my sales at the store. And, of course, none of us knew at the time that he was going to do more business after that video came out the rest of his life than he'd done prior to any time in his life. And I know I was down there, Davis was kind of like all of us old guys when we get contrary, you know, we kind of spill beans on our shirt and all this kind of stuff. And a few months after the video came out and, of course, the success of the song, I went down there and Davis had on a clean white shirt and khaki pants, and people was lined up buying skis and beer and everything he had. And he said, "I can't talk for a minute, Rich. Just get a picture." He said, "I've got to get back to work. I'm busy these days."
Okay.
I never forgot that.
Richard, kind of what you went through there was kind of a passing of rights for a lot of us young folks there in that area at that time, because before Dumas had the package store there, he had a pool hall and a service station in a little place called the Hole in the Wall there at Moss. And the pool hall side of that thing was a squeaky perfect place that my dad felt quite comfortable with bringing his 12, 13-year-old kids up there, and that Dumas teach them kind of how to shoot pool. So, I mean, that's something he had really done all of his life, that type of thing.
I did not know that, Thomas, that it used to be a pool hall.
Yeah,
I just thought Dumas had that for eons. I didn't know that it had transformed from
Richard, the hole in the wall was a service station there in Moss, on down in Moss. Now, of course, the store, the reason behind his store being there where it was when the Dumas Walker store opened, the legal store and everything, but, you know, you had to build it just as close to the state line as you could, because every Friday afternoon, when everybody that worked in every factory nearly in Tompkinsville jumped in their car as soon as they got their paycheck and ran down to Dumas's and got their supply of entertainment in the bottle for the rest of the weekend.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, now, Richard, I want to throw out a couple of things. One is your songwriting career.
I got to tell you something.
Okay.
Before we jump on something.
All right.
I forgot. Go ahead.
Okay, I was wanting to talk a little bit about your years when you were writing for A Cuff Rose. I mean, I wonder how many folks that haven't looked at some of these biographies realize that when you guys kind of broke up the Itchy Brothers, the different directions that you and Fred went in.
Well, we never did break up. I mean, that breaking up is when you don't play together anymore. We still play. We just, we kind of reached the point. You know, we had some great opportunities as kids, Thomas. We Capricorn Records in Atlanta, Georgia, or Macon, Georgia. As soon as we got out of high school, they started working with us and was going to put albums out on us. And then the label went belly up. And then the Lynyrd Skynyrd band crashed.
Right.
And we were living down in Georgia at the time in Atlanta. And we kind of looked at each other and said, well, you know, that they were carrying the torch for Southern Rock at the time. And we said, you know, nobody's going to sign a Southern Rock band right now because it's just a black cloud on it. And so we came home and licked their wounds, and then we met Led Zeppelin's people that ran their record company called Swan Song Records, which
was
a huge English label that had an office in New York. And they started working with us, and then their drummer passed away, John Bonham. And when that happened, it threw us into a tizzy to where, and some of us were starting to get, Greg had gotten married and had a job playing with Ronnie McDowell, the country singer.
Right.
To pick up money, you know, and we still got together at the house, and we still played music, and we still played shows. But we never broke up. They can't use that word ever because
okay.
Once you do that,
excuse me.
You changed your name, see, or your brand. But, in 1986, we decided to take another shot at the, record deal thing. And Anthony, our cousin, had just gotten married, and he just said, "I don't think I could. I quit work, y'all, and go out on the road like we used to do." And so we got Doug Phelps, who was actually playing with Greg and Ronnie McDowell's backup band. we went to see them play to check out Doug to see if he could be a itchy brother. And he was younger than, a little younger than us, but he kind of was a good looking boy and he could sing and fit the bill. And so we got Doug to come in. And that's how the Headhunters morphed in 1986. Itchy Brother morphed into the Headhunters. You know, after the Led Zeppelin incident and that sort of thing, our manager, Mitchell Fox, who actually worked for Led Zeppelins and their label, became our manager. He's going to come down. He's going to be there with us in Salina. And Mitchell knew that we had to have something besides just playing together a little bit to help us. So he went and met with Mr. Rose and played him some of our demos that we had done for Led Zeppelin's label. And Mr. Rose saw the potential in us as songwriters, and he agreed to let us come down there and write songs and hang out and, you know, with this crowd there and meet people and that sort of thing. And, you know, nobody really took advantage of that part of it. Fred actually went out on the road with a pop country singer, Sylvia.
One of the better ones.
The audition with 50 different drummers, and nobody'd ever heard of him, but he got the job. And he did that while Greg and Doug did the Ron McDowell thing. And I went to Ache of Rose twice a week. My wife was cutting, Cindy was cutting hair. And we would, my mom would, and Dad would loan me, maybe my mom would give me enough gas money in her car to drive to Nashville twice a week to, you know, to try to write songs. And, I never really wrote any big hits with anybody except, Jerry Lee Lewis recorded one of my songs while I was there, and, a guy named Paul Young from England. But I learned so much, Thomas, because I walked into which, you know, for the folks that don't know, Ache of Rose, stands for Roy Acuff and Wesley Rose. But the original Mr. Rose had passed and wrote all the songs with Hank Williams. But I got to be around the biggest of the big songwriters and sit and watch them and learn. And, you know, even though, you know, I met so many people, Dave Edmonds from England, who I was one of my heroes, a rockabilly singer, Roy Orbison, and all these great songwriters. But I'll tell you what really, for me, really turned me into a songwriter for my kind of music, our kind of music, is there was a guy by the name of Whitey Schaefer. And if you look on a lot of George Strait albums and the Merle Haggard albums and different ones, you'll see the name Sanger Schaefer on it. And that was Whitey. And Whitey was the epitome of what an old-time Nashville songwriter was. He wrote with, you know, who's the guy that did I Never Go Around Mirrors? Merle Haggard. He wrote with Lefty Frizzell. It was when he was young. And one day he was across the hall from me. I was in there mounting to nothing trying to write a country song, which, you know, I had no business of Tomcat with tits. You know, might as well have been there. And Whitey called and picked on my door and said, come over here, killer. I want to play you one I just wrote. And I went over there and I sat down in the chair by him, and he had a little white Wurlitzer 50s piano he always wrote on. And after he played it, I said, wow, Whitey, that's great. Will I ever be able to write a song like that? He said, why no? Well, it crushed me, and I said, well, why? And he said, Richard, you've got a rock and roll pedigree. You need to go back up there in Kentucky to that old farmhouse and write about what you know. You follow me?
Pretty good advice, right?
Yep.
Okay, now can I throw it?
A month later, Dumas Walker was written, because we knew that.
Yep.
And I know one time we were somewhere after that song exploded, and Doc Brooks came up to me, and he said, that song, Bemis Walker, it's a real story, isn't it? And I said, yeah. And he said, I knew it was. He said, I could just tell. But the thing of it is, and I started to tell you all ago when I lost my train of thought, when we were getting ready to put out our first album, Picking on Nashville, we were at the mastering house where they put a sheen on the music, so when it plays on the radio, it doesn't distort. That has to be done to all music, and called mastering. And anyway, Hal Shedd, who had given us our change and signed our little Picking on Nashville album that we would sell out of the trunks of our car, we were mastering it, and he said, Richard, come back here. I want to talk to you a minute. And we went back in the back, and he said, you know, Richard, he said, man, I really wish you guys would reconsider not putting that Dumas Walker song on the album. And I said, say what? And he said, it's too regional. It's regional. It's about you guys. Which, if you got to know Harold, you would never believe he would have thought that anyway, because he was a regional. He loved regional stuff. But he said, I'm afraid that it will not catch on. And I said, well, Dumas, Harold, what you're missing here is everybody's got a Dumas Walker worldwide. This just happens to be our place. Our Dumas Walker, our place. But everybody, when they hear that song, it reminds them of a place where they used to go. It might have been, you know, Joe's Bar and Grill in Oklahoma City or something. Or, you know, in Muskogee, Oklahoma, or Dallas, Texas, or whatever. But everybody, when they grow up and they get in their teens, and then they get to be older, then when they look back, that's a memory of theirs. And that's what that song spells, is memories.
Okay, can I throw out a name here at you right now about that album? How about Jonathan D.W. Lyle, Richard?
Well, first off, I don't guess there would ever been a Picking on Nashville if it hadn't been for Jonathan. Jonathan was a biker in Richmond, Virginia, and he used to come and see Ronnie McDowell play. And he was a blues freak, though. He liked to smoke cigars and drink brandy. But he just liked, you know, when he was in Atlanta, he got to be friends with Greg and that sort of thing. So, actually, before the Headhunters hit, Ronnie McDowell called me and wanted me to write some songs. He had an album. They had re-recorded a Conway Twitty song and did it rockabilly. I can't remember the name of the song now. It was a big one. But, anyway, he wanted me to come and help him write some rockabilly songs for that album. And I said, well, Ronnie, he said, just come on the road. And I said, well, Ronnie, I can't just come on the road and leave home. I've got to do something to make a living, which I was selling vintage guitars back then. And, you know, working at a music store part-time or whatever. And he said, well, come out and sell my T-shirts for me. I don't have anybody to do that. And that'll give you an excuse to make some money and help me write some songs. So anyway, I went out there and did that, and it was a lot of fun. But it also gave us a springboard for Doug, Greg, and I to be together, you know, traveling and that sort of thing. But Jonathan I got up and jammed with Ronnie McDowell and them in Atlanta once. Well, Smyrna, Georgia's Marietta, suburb of Atlanta. And I got up, you know, every once in a while I'd get up and sing a rockabilly song or two with them, or blues or something. And Ronnie loved that kind of stuff, so he just loved getting me up there. And Jonathan happened to be there that night, and all of a sudden he saw something happen between me and Greg. It was a charisma. It was a thing going on there. And he said, man, you guys ought to be playing in a band together. I said, well, we have been for about 30 years, you know. And so anyway, we became good friends, and he had helped some blues artists, you know, finance their albums and things like that. And Jonathan said, why don't you guys with the Headhunters make you an album, and I'll give you the money to go down to the studio down at where we always record at Sound Shop Keys, and y'all go down there for 3 days and make you some music. We went down there and we cut that whole album and mixed it in 3 days. And of course, we'd been playing live. You know, we had a radio show at that time, the Chitlin Show out of Munfordville, Kentucky. And the music had become quite polished and our originals had become polished. So we just went in the studio like they did in the old days and walked out 3 days later. The birds were tweeting, but we had an album. And that's where Picking on Nashville came from. And had it not been for Jonathan loaning us $3,500 to do that, who knows if we'd be talking today or not.
Okay, Richard, can I tell you where I was at the first time I heard Dumas Walker? I was in Scottsdale, Arizona at a meeting, and all at once, we were having a little cookout there or something, a little campfire meeting or something. All at once, whoever the DJ was furnishing the music put that thing on, and this was, it just had come out, and I'm sitting there thinking, golly, there's Dumas over at Moss, same place I'm from. Just listen to this, and it hits you. And I had already heard, you know, Walk Softly on, because I'm kind of a bluegrass fan,
yeah,
too, and I really,
well,
that's
that
one of my favorites.
Oh.
Yeah, yes, it did. And I sat there, and somebody next to me said, hey, I said, they're talking about my mom's first cousin, and here I am in Scottsdale, Arizona, listening to it.
That's crazy. It's a small world, my friend.
Yes, it is. Okay, now, some of the new things you're doing, I know you're getting into the blues. On the way up here today, I kind of listened to, Live from the...
Ramblin' Man.
Yep, Live from the Ramblin' Man thing.
Ramblin' Man over in England. Uh-huh, we recorded live.
Great listening there, and I had it kind of interspersed with the Picking on Nashville. And I listened, you know, and the distance between the styles of those two is New York and San Diego.
It is. A lot of people don't realize it, but even if you listen to Dumas Walker, we've loved the blues since we was kids. Our mom used to play Big John R. on the radio out of WLAC in Nashville.
Me too.
And she would iron, and she'd have, they'd be playing B.B. King and Muddy Waters and all this stuff. So we would just run around, you know, in the kitchen barefoot, and this stuff was soaking in us. So really, even though we're country boys and our songs have rural sensibilities, we're really blues and rock guys. And if you listen to Dumas Walker, you could take the words and the melody out of that. And I guess I'm giving away a trade secret here, but nobody's been able to bottle it yet. So it's a blues shuffle. So basically, everybody fell in love with a blues shuffle with a story about a guy from Moss, Tennessee, with a song with rural lyrics, which if you listen to blues songs, the lyric is just as rural as the early country music. And all this stuff just melded together over the years. You know, people in the cotton fields of Mississippi met the people in eastern Kentucky. I mean, had it not been for the blues, we wouldn't have the great bluegrass guys we have that stood out like Bill Monroe. Because Bill loved the blues, but he was an Appalachian guy. And that bluegrass lyric and the style that he got from the blues singers, but when a country boy from the mountains sang it, he couldn't sound like Muddy Waters. So he sounded like
Bill Monroe.
If you research it back and look at it, is everything comes from the country and from blues.
Absolutely.
And so all that combined over the years, and I will say this about that album, you're right, it's as far as New York and San Diego. That's true. But over in England and Scotland and Ireland, we're known as a blues rock, southern rock band. So you fashion your shows to fit your audience. Now, if we were playing in Dallas, Texas, we would have pulled more from the early days, you know. But we always still, if you listen close enough, you listen closely, 90% of every song Headhunters do is based from a blues bass. And that's the difference in our music that makes it, like I said, if they could bottle it, they would, but they so far, nobody's been able to capture the Headhunter sound in a bottle. It belongs to the four of us, and if one of us walked away from it, then it'd be like taking tea and pouring water in it and drinking and pouring water in it. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't have the chemistry.
Can I give you a title for an album, and you take it from here? Appalachian Blues.
Right.
How simple is that? Just Appalachian Blues.
Appalachian Blues. Well, you know what? That's a good idea right there. And the next time we do a blues album, you know, we've had two blues albums.
Right.
We're fortunate enough, thanks to Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, hooked us up with Johnny Johnson. Now, a lot of folks might not know who Johnny is, but Johnny had a band after he got out of the Marines during World War II. He landed in East St. Louis. He was originally born in West Virginia, Fairmont, West Virginia. And after his parents passed and he got out of the military, he was a Marine in World War II, he landed in St. Louis. East St. Louis, and he had a band called the Johnny Johnson Trio, and it was him playing piano, upright bass and drums. And he had a sax player, too. And the sax player, what happened on that was one night he got sick, and there'd been this little skinny kid been coming around wanting to set in with him. And he couldn't, he didn't have room for him. So when the sax player got sick on New Year's Eve, he said, Chuck, you come on and play. Well, Chuck, of course, was flamboyant, wrote great lyrics and all this. So he eventually joined the band for Johnny over Johnny's band, and it became Chuck Berry. So anyway, that's the way that all started. We were fortunate enough to that Keith and Eric Clapton did an album on Johnny, a solo album, and they set us up to do the solo album for Johnny, and we became instant friends and played eons after that. Played a lot of shows together, TV shows. I guess you can pull up Colin O'Brien and see us playing together and things like that. But, Johnny passed. Before he passed, the year before he passed, we got together and did another album. You should check it out. It's called Meet Me in Blues Land.
I've listened to it.
Yeah, that's a fun record. Boys, I hate to cut this short. I love talking about all this stuff, and I just want my wife is waiting for me to give her some money to go to the grocery, and I'm going to at the general, and I've got to get back to work, too. But listen, everybody try to come out and be a part of this occasion. We're going to try to start around 2 o'clock on Wednesday the 18th at the Clay County Courthouse to unveil this monument for Dumas Walker.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Prescription drug and opioid misuse often starts at home. On average, 4,400 people ages 12 and under misuse prescription medication for the first time every day. Sharing prescription medications with friends or family members is dangerous and against the law. The misuse of prescription medications can lead to severe health problems and even opioid use disorder. Start preventing prescription drug and opioid misuse at home. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. As you have just heard, we did this interview yesterday. It was hard to get anything out of Richard, but he did a pretty good job, and we really and truly, though, we really appreciate him taking the time out, and I know this very, very busy schedule they've got, and we were lucky, of course, said before we could schedule anything with our unveiling here, we had to check with those guys and see what they're doing, and luckily we found a date here in August that I think they're going to be playing in Berksville that weekend. Now, I think they do an annual, been doing an annual thing up there for a long time, so we were lucky in that we got to do that. But this celebration of the Tennessee Pat Music Pathways thing is a very, very great thing for Clay County. And but I'm looking also now here at some of the out of that first album, they're picking on Nashville, and they won a let me find my spot here. They won five Grammy awards from that, and of course that is the that's the Academy Awards of Music. And in 1989, they were awarded the top new vocal duo or group that came on on the national scene there in 1989 with the remake of the Bill Monroe bluegrass classic of Walk Softly on This Heart of Mine, which I think off that album reached the number one spot on the country music charts. And then also in 1990, that album won the album of the year, picking on Nashville. And then also the vocal group of the year that year. You know, and that's when they were up against folks, you know, like the Oak Ridge Boys and people like that, legends of country music. And these newcomers from over in Metcalf County, Kentucky, did a very, very, very good job that year. And then also they won the best country performance by a duo or group with vocals from picking on Nashville. And also in 1991, the Country Music Association picked them as the vocal group of the year. And you know, looking down through, I know Richard talked about the different types of music that they've done over the years. And, of course, they broke on the national scene, like I said, with a remake of a bluegrass song and kind of a, I guess, a little bit of a country rock slant to that. And as he said, you know, they were a blues band from the beginning when they started out with that group. But, you know, looking down through the years, their first album was picking on Nashville. The next one was called Electric Barnyard, which was a combination of some standards of country music that they had electrified, changed a little bit. Rave On, You know, we've all remember the old song of Raven, which was country rock. And then in 1993, once again, they went into another direction, and that was with some soulful blues music. And with Johnny Johnson in 93, Stomping Ground in 97, just looking on down through the line there, songs from the Grass String Ranch in 2000, Soul in 2003, Big Boss Man 2005. Then we go back to Dixie Lullabies. And then another one in the blues line, in Meet Me in Blues Land with Johnny Johnson, 2015. And then one of the newer ones on Safari, and the one that Richard talked about, that was, you know, Live from the Ramblin' Man thing over, I think that was either in England or Ireland, one or the other. And they have a new album. I know their work is going to be released. And since they kind of moved over into the blues field, they have been nominated, and I know they have won some awards for their blues record, which is, you know, what we not normally think of them. But, you know, it's great that we're going to have them here with us here on next Wednesday, the 18th, at 2 in the afternoon. And we will have, of course, that day a lineup of local dignitaries. Folks from the Tennessee Tourism Department will be here. And we should have coverage, and we hope to have a nice crowd of Clay Countyans and folks from up in South Central Kentucky up there in Metcalf and Monroe, Cumberland County, to come down and join with us. And we're going to do that here from the courthouse yard. And then at the conclusion of that part of the ceremony, we will be, of course, unveiling the new sign here that is going to commemorate the song Dumas Walker, and also honor and commemorate the group that made it possible, that being the Kentucky Headhunters. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
An alarming number of preteens are already drinking alcohol, which makes it urgent to find every opportunity to talk to your kids about the dangers of underage drinking. They really do hear you. For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's www.underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk. They hear you. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, kind of looking at a lot of folks here in Tennessee are not familiar with the Tennessee Music Pathways program, but the State Department of Tourism started this a few years ago, and actually was going pretty good until the COVID came along. And their intent is to provide there's a website. It's just called, you do a search on Tennessee Music Pathways, and it'll take you to this website where you can go in there and you can pick out different genres of music that you like, and it will direct you to markers throughout the state of Tennessee, and their intent is to have one of these, in at least one in each of the counties in Tennessee. And, of course, like I said earlier, that Richard knew about this early on, and he was very, very instrumental in getting this worked up, and that we were one of the first ones that were added on this thing. And right now I'm on the website here, and I'm going to just kind of scroll through some of the things, like the different places where these have been placed. And the first one on the list that I look at here is Mountain View Cemetery, which is the burial site of Dottie West. So you can kind of see that, you know, for the true fan, that, you know, that's a Dottie West fan, this is something, you know, if you're in Tennessee from somewhere out of the state, you know, that they'd like to see this. And then looking on down, the next one is Chris Young Music Pathway, and that one is down in Murfreesboro. Of course, Chris is one of the newer members of the Grand Ole Opry and all those things. And the next one down, and they go through a lot of different sites here. Middle Tennessee Center for Popular Music, located at Middle Tennessee State University, the Bonnaroo site, Miller's Grocery, down in Christiana. And I kind of like here the Cedar Grove Cemetery, the burial site of Claude Curley Putnam, who was a famous bluegrass musician. Down in Lebanon, the Capitol Theater, just looking on through here, the Bluegrass Underground is selected as one of the spots, and one of the ones that were just uncovered a few weeks ago, and that is the Kix Brook Music Parkway. That's down in Arrington, Tennessee. And actually, we've got another here, the Hopper Cemetery, the gravesite of Grady Martin, the great guitarist. So you can see that there is just, and of course, in our neighboring city down in Gainesboro, there's a marker there for Jamie Daly. So, you know, these things are, you know, like I said, they're all over the state of Tennessee. And it's a great way for, you know, true music fans to get out and, you know, find more information about their idols. And, it's a tremendous honor for Dumas Walker and the Kentucky Headhunters to be placed on this site. I know that they have lots and lots of fans throughout the country, because I know that with their busy touring schedule this summer, that, you know, they are, you know, once again up and moving. And I do know that, you know, Richard talked about the hesitation about placing the song Dumas Walker on the album, because it was a regional attraction only. And, you know, I kind of thought about that, and I said, yeah, it is a regional attraction. It's an attraction about every region in the world. There's very few places that you can't go that someone hasn't heard or is going to sing you the lyrics of Let's Go Down to Dumas Walker's. And with that said, we hope that a whole bunch of folks will come down next Wednesday at 2:00. And like I said, we've got some dignitaries coming from the state, local dignitaries. I know that Dumas's nephew, Alan West, is going to relate some of the stories where he grew up in and around his Uncle Dumas. And also the members of the Kentucky Headhunters will be here on the square with us. They're not going to be performing, but they're going to be here with us. And I know maybe some of them may be bringing some of the Music City executives with them, a couple of them that are down in Nashville right now is their home when they're not on the road. So we're looking forward to that day. And we're about to run out of time. And I think it's time to... for a birthday cake giveaway, and I will do my little selection here. And it looks like the winner of the cake today is Larry Denton. And also celebrating a birthday this day were Bart Cunningham and Chuck Chitwood. And we'd like to wish all three of them a happy birthday. And to pick anyone that, when they get ready to pick up their coupon, go by the Clay County Chamber and pick that up. And with that, I guess it's time nobody to run out of here today except me. And maybe we're going to get finished on time, but we'd especially like to invite everyone to come out next Wednesday at 2 o'clock and gather with us here around the square for the unveiling of the Dumas Walker Kentucky Headhunter Tennessee Music Pathways sign. And with that, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here live and in living color on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And with that, good day, Clay County.